Warwick Hadfield joins us now to talk sport. And Warwick, one of the rugby's greatest rivalries resumes this weekend, Queensland versus New South Wales.
Yes, Fran. Look, the Queenslanders, they're celebrating 130 years of the formal creation of their game this year, though the first game between the two states occurred a year earlier. That was back in 1882. And in that time, this is an interesting fact, apparently the dominant football sport in Brisbane was Melbourne Rules, the forefather of the AFL. But of course, that's changed.
Melbourne Rules.
That's right. It was everywhere up and down the East Coast. It was also quite prominent in, or started to get prominence in Sydney in about 1882 as well. But of course, we all know what's happened since then. Anyway, over those 130 odd years, and some of them have been very odd, I can tell you, the relationship between New South Wales and Queensland has been at best, particularly in the eyes of the Queenslanders, one of total mistrust. The Queenslanders always counted their numbers whenever an Australian side was picked to make sure they had plenty of theirs in there. And of course, at worst, it's a fierce, no-holds-barred contest, one personified in the form of the ever-outspoken Chris Buddha Handy, which is another reason why when he returns to the Helio Stadium in Brisbane, Israel Folau can expect to be booed to the echo. He's a former Queenslander, albeit a rugby league one, who's joined up with the Southern Plotters. Now, Queensland coach Ewan McKenzie, he's gone in the other direction, and he's proven a lot of New South Wales people wrong in the process, and he reckons his side can record another modern win against the Waratahs, despite being without a few of his best players, including James Horwell and Scott Higginbotham. And you can already hear, as they get ready for the weekend, Buddha Handy in the background going, "Go, you good thing." Surfing is already celebrating a number of good things, including a significant anniversary, the formation 50 years ago of the Australian Surf Riders Association, which has morphed inevitably into Surfing Australia. Now, last night there was a lot of wrinkled and leathered skin out and about as they not only elevated Stephanie Gilmore into the Hall of Fame, but named the 10 most influential surfing people of the last 50 years. Mark Richards, known as the Wounded Seagull because of the way he stood up on the board, he got the top spot. He won 4 world championships in a row starting in 1979. And there's a lovely symmetry here. Lane Beachley, who of course won 7 world titles, she comes in at number 7 in that top 10.
If you win 7, shouldn't you come in at number 1 if someone's won 4 and you've won 7?
Well, it's not just about your performance, it's about the influence you've had on the sport. And it was claimed that Mark Richards has had the most influence because he made it into a bit of a household name back in the 70s and 80s. You've got to say that Lane Beachley did that for women surfing in the last decade or so too. Look, to cricket, and for a sport that just loves the esoteric, another stat to savour, Moses Henriques, the New South Wales all-rounder, will tomorrow become the first Portuguese cricketer to play in a test match for Australia. He's one of 4 quicks. The others are James Pattinson, Peter Siddle and Mitchell Starc, picked for the side for the first test against India on what's a traditional Bunsen burner in Chennai. Despite his exotic birthplace, Henriques invoked as his main inspiration the memories of playing backyard cricket in suburban Sydney after his parents Alvaro and Annabella moved to Australia. And Henriques gets the all-rounders position because Shane Watson, who will bat at 4, he won't be bowling. Now the Indians, as they do, have gone for spin in numbers, 4 of them in their squad. In cycling, as James has already told us this morning, Australia has won the gold medal in the men's team pursuit at the World Track Championships in Minsk in Belarus, beating the British, who are the defending Olympic medalists. Now, the young Australian team was Glenn O'Shea, he's 23 and the oldest, Alexander Edmondson, 19, Michael Hepburn, 21, and Alexander Morgan, all of 18. So they're promising signs ahead of the next Olympics. And look, the war on drugs in sport is a story every day if you want to make it one. So here's an interesting tidbit out of Europe. Apparently the IOC and a number of international sporting federations are getting a bit irritated by the independent stance taken by John Fay and his people, as and they're looking at ways to try and bring WADA, that's the World Anti-Doping Agency, more under their control. And apparently, I'm told, this will be a real war of its own over the next few months. More sport tomorrow, Fran.
Good on you, Warwick. Thanks very much. It's 23 to 8 on Breakfast. Paul Bongiorno up next.